Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dusty and Friends.
This is ham soaked in rum. It is loaded with booze.
With Dusty the Fan Man Hera.
Eating your drinks? That is genius.
This is Dusty and Friends.
We are no longer in relaxing mode. We are now in survival mode.
Will you stop being so dramatic?
On 1080 The Fan.
Run, ham!
What you know about rolling down in the deep?
Hour number three, Dusty and Friends, as we've only got, two more shows in the remaining hour right here until it becomes Danny and Dusty, noon to three. We made the announcement at the start of the show. If you missed it, go check it out on the Les Schwab Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com. Danny Meringue, who's with us today, moving forward, going to be in that chair.
Whether you want it or not.
I do. I do. We do need to get a couple things straight here, though.
Yeah.
Because we've had some Twitter responses.
I'm sure nothing but love.
Yeah. Am I going to have to stop you from USC, love?
You can try.
Okay. I will. I will.
I mean, I'm going to class the joint up a little bit, okay?
And so we're using USC?
Yeah, absolutely.
University of Spoiled Children?
Absolutely. We have nice things.
No. I'm really looking forward to football season because, like one texter said, I've never heard Danny just not on all things Blazers. So
that's just
there's
been
a
my
lot
corner.
More.
Yeah, that's just been my corner. Like that was.
You're way more than that, dude.
Yeah, no. Contrary to popular belief, USC stuff doesn't do real well in Portland, Oregon. So I don't do a ton of it.
You've diversified.
Yeah.
You're a Cardinals fan for Major League Baseball, which means that, like, if this show would have happened like a decade ago, we would have been sworn enemies.
Yes.
But now the Astros are in the AL West and, you know, got a good little team over there.
Listen, man, I rely on my Redbirds to keep my sanity because that is the one franchise that I can go back to and go, yeah, they're
stable.
Winners. They're winners.
Stable. Because you're a Raiders fan?
Oh, yeah.
Blazers fan?
Yeah. And an Everton fan, which is kind of like the Blazers of the Premier League of Soccer.
Oh, why is that? Because they don't
really
draft.
Just like their players a lot.
Oh, they do. They love their guys.
Love their guys. It's show up, have fun, play with heart, and
See, I like that. Like that to me. That's why they're the Blazers of the EPL. Damn it.
Ding.
Because I saw Will Barton was traded today.
Uh huh.
And he's part of a swap with the Wizards where he's going from Denver along with Monte Morris.
Yep.
Is that right?
Monte Morris for KCP and. Ish Smith, who, if he plays one game for the Denver Nuggets, will break the NBA record for most teams played for. It will be his 13th.
It's Ish Smith?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I believe Anthony Tolliver is tied for the record or one back. He's either 11 or 12.
And Ish Smith, never a Blazer.
Never a Blazer, which is kind of funny because there were so many years where they needed a backup point guard to just run things, and they just could never make that happen.
Well, Will Barton is one of those guys that you're talking about, like Everton, they'll love him forever. I will love Will Barton forever. Like when he was here in Portland, Thrill Barton was one of my favorite players because the thrill of Thrill Barton was which one was going to happen. Not from night to night, from possession to possession. You were just sitting there like, oh, no. Yeah.
They had early in his career, you just got that and you didn't know. And Will was part of one of the dumbest, greatest moments in Blazers history with the Thomas Robinson chase down block and lob. Just the most obscene.
I forgot totally about that.
Yep. One of the most obscenely ridiculous plays ever in a game for the Portland Trailblazers.
Oh, my
And you
gosh.
Had Thomas Robinson, Wes Matthews, and Will Barton. And it was just absolutely ridiculous. And Will had a couple of those type of plays here that made him you just question, what could he be? What could he turn into? And the question was, or the answer was, sixth man of the year.
Wait, you're talking about people loving the Blazers. Like, that team that you just mentioned, like, where you have Thomas Robinson, Wesley Matthews,
Victor Claver, Will Barton. I think that was the four of the five on the floor for that play.
But you also had, you know, that was Dame as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
You had LaMarcus Aldridge. It was Nikola Batum.
Sasha Pavlovich.
Yeah.
Who, hilariously, Dame has talked about numerous times, saying if he was the GM, Sasha would still be on the team because of how much he loved him.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He loved him.
Weird.
I think it was just
what a weird guy.
I think when you're a rookie, when you look up to your vets, it can be anybody.
Yeah, it's like your team dad.
Yeah.
But with that team, I remember there was people like, oh, Thomas, he's going to be the difference maker. It's like, no, he's not. No, he never, never was going to be. But he was one of those guys that we very early got convinced that because he was a high draft pick, that
one pick before Damian Lillard,
he was going to be the guy that is the big difference for the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, the Neil Olshey draft lottery redraft.
Man, that happened
a
lot.
He loved those guys, let me tell you. I mean, he circled back for Mason Plumlee.
There's the list is very long.
Oh, no,
like
Al
Farouk Aminu is on that list
as
well.
Who he drafted. Yep.
Yeah, when he was down in L.A.
And there were rumors of them pursuing Blake Griffin multiple times, who he drafted in L.A. He finally got Pau Gasol, kind of.
We're going to call that getting Pau Gasol.
He signed a contract.
There is. Okay.
There was, going into that season, Pau Gasol jerseys for sale. So that's a collector's item right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Man.
Physically painful.
But now Will Barton is a member of the Washington Wizards, where I thought Bradley Beal just opted out.
Which,
even though they're going to resign,
it looks like he's very much going to sign a 5-year max offer.
Same thing that happened with James Harden and Philly.
But I don't believe that's going to be a max offer.
It shouldn't be.
Because he's opting out of, I think, a $47.5 million option. I've heard that it's going to be closer to 40 going forward.
He's still going to get $40 million?
He's still going to get big money. Chris Paul just got 37.
Yeah, I know, but James Harden, like, that hamstring injury, like, for all of the headaches that James Harden gives you,
the hamstring was real. From what I was told.
The hamstring injury, he has never been the same, because he hasn't taken care of himself though.
That's the question, is because Chris Paul had the exact same thing happen. He basically took a year to get it right, and then he's been fine. Will James Harden stop going to strip clubs and eating trash long enough to get right?
Well, don't just pin this all on the strip clubs, Danny.
I'm just saying, to take care of your body, you can't be out until 3 in the morning every night.
Well, maybe he should go to the A-Crop, where they got a salad bar there.
That's true. I mean, every now and then you switch it up for some steak bites.
Isn't there still the vegan joint here in town, too?
That'd be the Casa Diablo.
Casa Diablo, yeah. They still run the $2 bills there?
I don't know. I don't know. Well, you just lit up the text line, probably 3, 2, 1. Here come those texts. Well, now I got nothing else on my mind.
No.
Okay, well, James Harden, you maybe not just stay out till 3 a.m. eating junk food, huh?
Yeah, I'm just saying, it does help in the recovery process, especially when you get closer to the washed end of life.
Yeah. So that's the latest on the NBA market. Really nothing to report here locally, except for the Blazers have extended the qualifying offer to Anfernee Simons,
which allows them to pursue him in restricted free agency. Which are all things that we expect.
But boy, you dropped one in the break that really didn't make sense to me, is the Dante DiVincenzo one.
Yeah, and I've gotten a couple text messages from some other folks trying to clarify it, because he was nicked up, which was part of the problem, but to not even do the qualifying offer, are his medicals that bad, or are the Kings kinging it pretty hard?
Yeah,
I'm leaning towards the latter.
Because he played in, was it, I've got 25 games played for Sacramento, 17 for the Bucks. So he played in what, 40? That's 42 games.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all in the back half of the season.
Yeah, he was injured to start the year. So,
yeah.
And we're also, there's another note here on another player kind of in the same boat, in Lou Dort. The Thunder are not going to pick up his team option at $1.9 million, which was kind of made famously the Presti deal, which is kind of what Trenton Watford got. We saw Kenyon Martin Jr., where they take a little piece of the MLE and try to make it work. The Blazers did it with Gary Trent Jr. as well. Mm-hmm. But that Dort deal is going to give him, I think, significantly more money going forward because he's a guy who's a proven starter in the NBA making less than basically vet minimum money.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Looks like Danilo Gallinari and DeJounte Murray are on the move as well. Woj reporting the Hawks are sending Gallinari to San Antonio with multiple first-round picks in exchange for Murray.
Wow. Picks and Gallo for point guard, all-star, DeJounte Murray.
What a fall for Danilo Gallinari, though, who he was going to be a guy that rejuvenating his career down in Atlanta. That lasted very quickly.
He's old and 6'9".
It was 1 year. But it was that 1 year where they beat the Knicks in the Mecca.
What happens when you're old and over 6'7"? Let's take a look at Carmelo Anthony. Like, when it goes, it goes.
What are you talking about? Melo was great.
It's just, you know how it goes.
Great.
All-time
Blazer great.
You
put
know
the
what?
Number 00 in thereafter and just have Duck Melo slash on there.
This is, for those that don't know, Trae Young and DeJounte Murray are both represented by the same agency. What agency would you think that would be, Dusty?
Probably Clutch.
Yeah,
that's what I go with. Like, everything now is just Clutch.
That they were able to leverage this situation. The Spurs are very much tanking the living bejesus out of next season. They are in the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes. They are the early entrant to be the worst team in the NBA.
We're going to tell Pop it's not 1997 anymore and you can't tank and have exponentially better odds than everybody else because it's 25% for the first three teams, right? Isn't that correct?
The highest percentage is 14.5%.
Okay.
But things mostly went chalk.
Tell that to the Blazers who got bumped down a spot.
Again, the Kings did move up, but... I mean, the Thunder picked second. I mean, the really bad teams went Orlando, Houston, OKC all picked 1, 2, 3. So, but yeah, when you've got a 7'2", 7'3" guy who can dribble, pass, and shoot, and have like real unicorn type stuff, there's no level of shame that the teams that tank this year, Dusty, are going to be the worst tanking teams we've ever seen. That's how much people believe in him.
So the Blazers are that 30-point record of 15 30-point losses,
It may pop up there. You may see a team worse than what the Blazers put on the floor for the final 23 games.
Let's go. Okay. We were talking college football at the very beginning of this. USC and Texas, no longer the programs holding on to their former greatness.
Mm.
There is a new one.
Oh.
There is a new program that I believe is the one that everybody's going to be pointing to that when they say, oh, get over yourselves.
Fair.
Next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dusty and Friends on 1080 The Fan.
Well, that's quite a haul that the Atlanta Hawks are given to get Murray out of San Antonio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is.
That place in Texas.
They get Danilo Gallinari and then three first-round picks, is it?
So this is from Woj right now. The Hawks are sending a 2023 first-round pick via Charlotte and their own 2025 and 2027 first-round picks to the Spurs in the deal. Sources tell ESPN. Spurs will also get a pick swap in 2026.
Whoa.
Because you can't give that pick away, but you can make a pick swap. So,
and that's just, I mean, this move is just basically you can't have a, well, here, smart thing. We can relate it back to here. You cannot have two defensive liabilities in your backcourt at the exact same time.
Particularly when one of them's 5'11".
Yeah, Trae Young. The Blazers didn't have that problem.
No.
But Kevin Huerter and Trae Young,
Herter's at least passable, but the simple fact that he's 6'7". Hey, but Trey gives up so much
on
the other end.
But you can't have, you cannot have that. Now you bump down to a more traditional lineup, right?
And honestly, Murray is a fantastic player and a great defender and a wonderful athlete. That's a, it's about as good a, let's take a look at their you know, quasi guard forward rotation. Trey Young, Deonte Murray, DeAndre Hunter. That's a lot better coverage defensively than they've had previously.
And then they have Bogdan Bogdanovic,
who I still think they're going to try to move.
They were going
to
move him on draft day.
Same with John Collins.
Yeah.
And you've got Clint Capella as your backstop with Onyeka Okongwu.
Boy, so, that team is not bad.
No, they're making the moves to shift towards what, honestly, the Blazers are trying to do, which is get bigger, longer, stronger, more athletic, getting better on that side of the basketball.
Hmm. And then they have A.J. Griffin, DeLon Wright.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad lineup they got.
No. They're catering the team to Trae Young, 100%.
But what about when the Nets get, or the Knicks get Jalen Brunson?
Well, I mean, the Hawks might have to worry about them in the play-in.
Yeah, then they have some real sturdy competition there.
Yeah, I love the old idea of the East. Like, the East is back. East is not back. It hasn't been back. It's still the West.
Well, Milwaukee, though, if Chris Middleton doesn't get hurt,
they're probably the title, but I look at the Bucks and call them a different breed, a different category. But that's not the East per se, right?
Yeah. Wait, your teams you'll be afraid of. I think Milwaukee,
Miami, Boston.
Yeah, Boston.
I stopped
NBA
there.
Finals. What about, I mean, the Bulls? They feel like they had something cooking, then they fell off because they were so young. But it feels like they could be one of those teams where it's like, give them a year or two,
I think,
right?
Give a season them. I think they're a good team.
Why are we talking about Philly?
Because I will never, ever trust a James Harden-led team.
Yeah, me neither. And it's kind of feeling that way with the Joel Embiid, too.
I mean, you're talking about a 7-foot, 300-pound guy who's had a back surgery. That's never great. And as much as I love Embiid, I don't trust his health. I trust him as a player because in the playoffs he has performed. And he's been that dude. You look at the guys they've put around him, and Simmons, who fell apart, and Harden, who hardened his way through the playoffs.
There's a significant void in leadership, though, because you do hear kind of, it's amazing to me how you can kind of feel it with some guys, right? You get a feel for a guy. Like, James Harden isn't a leader, and he never will be, and he never really tries to be.
Kevin Durant's, I think, on that same level.
But Joel Embiid, he'll say some things, but I just don't feel like it resonates with his teammates.
He's a 1B. I don't think he's a true 1A. Like, Giannis is a 1A. Dame 100%. Is a 1A. Jimmy Butler is a 1A. Like, guys that are unabashed, unquestioned leaders of teams. Hell, you can throw Kyle Lowry in that.
But we crush guys like, and this will be kind of the ultimate legacy of Kevin Durant if he doesn't get a ring outside of Golden State. We crush these guys because they are 1Bs, but you know what? There's nothing wrong with their talent is supreme. Harden's talent is supreme.
Yep.
Joel Embiid's talent is supreme. KD, Kyrie Irving, right? Like, these guys, unquestioned, they are elite and top 1% of the top 1%. And like, for whatever reason, they'll have a knock because they don't have that leadership style or quality. Scottie Pippen.
Which is kind of hilarious when you consider that Kevin Durant's maybe the most gifted scorer the league has ever seen.
Ever.
But people look at him and go, yeah, but he's not a leader. It's like, he's the best scorer the league has ever seen. Why are we criticizing the one thing he doesn't do when he does literally everything else better?
And it's the reason why he got pissed and left Golden State the way that he did.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see it time and time again. I think it's the exact same reason why we see Kyrie and Harden bounce around throughout their careers, is the fact that they get criticized for not being able to win the big one. And they just, they've been told you have to be able to do it and be the guy. Why? Mm-hmm. Why? Why can't Kevin Durant be one of the best scorers we've ever seen in the NBA and still have to lean on a leader like Steph Curry or Steve Kerr?
Or even Draymond. Realistically, I look at that. I know Steph is what makes everything, but you're talking about what drives everything on both sides of the floor. I lean towards Draymond.
And it's one of the things that I love about Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson is
one of his role.
Exactly. He's one of the best shooters in the world.
Ever.
and he knows, like, I don't want to be number one because I'm comfortable
but
with what I am.
But why isn't he criticized?
Great, because he accepts it, and he falls into it, and he's like, whatever.
I'll be the vibes guy.
Yeah, I'm going to cash checks, drop bombs, and lose my hat on the way to the party.
Yeah, he knows his role, and I think that's part of perception when we talk about athletes today is how players view themselves versus how they want to be viewed. Let's go back to Kevin Durant. Durantula.
Yeah.
The Slim Reaper. No, call me the servant. What?
You had two kick-ass nicknames,
and
you went
just
with
shot
the servant
him in the sun.
And tried to give yourself one?
You're not Kobe, dude. And even then, the only reason Kobe was allowed to give himself one is because Black Mamba's kind of dope.
It is. The servant...
Not.
Is not.
And I think there's... There's this desire with hashtag new media to control your own narrative. You don't get to tell your own story. Mm-mm. You get to execute your own story and everybody else tells it. That's how this stuff works.
All right. We have a new king in the world of college football in the, hey, they're back after rest with SportsCenter.
Dusty and Friends on 1080 The Fan.
Well, it's happening again. The fans of the University of Florida are already starting to get on their new head football coach, Billy Napier, for not being able to cut it as a coach. This is one of the weird things. Heat is already coming down on Billy Napier.
Florida man says.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, are you surprised?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am surprised at this one. Because Florida has always escaped what has happened to other great programs that have risen and then fallen, right? Okay. They've escaped the USC, Texas, and even in their home state, Miami, the criticisms of...
Or Florida State.
The U's being back. Yeah. You know, Texas is back. SC is back. Reality is pretty crazy when you look at Florida in that outside of Urban Meyer's run, they have been in the Steve Spurrier National Championship that they had. They haven't been this great team that has been... the beacon of the SEC.
Which is insane considering their location.
It is. It has been, you know, the Spurrier runs, like Steve Spurrier was always like, oh, they're going to get close, but can they ever get over the hump, right? Urban Meyer got over that damn hump. Turns out, Urban Meyer, not a great dude.
Turns out recruiting murderers also helpful to your football cause.
Right. And and I don't want to get this wrong because I don't want people to get this wrong because... It is very true. They are a successful football program.
Yes, but not insanely successful.
And this is where, and this is why I say they escape a lot of what happens with Texas, USC, and even Miami is that their fans are getting in the way and their boosters are getting in the way of allowing a coach to go through some of the ebbs and flows that are natural in the world of college football. Alabama was not great before Nick Saban. Okay, like they had their Mike Price years. They had
I think that's a cuss word in Alabama.
Yeah. The Mike Price. Well, the Mike Price didn't even get to coach game because they fired him, and then he went down. And he got some strippers down in Alabama. Like they went through.
Itself.
Mike Shula years, where it wasn't great football being played there. Tennessee has gone through it. Their fans have gotten in their way.
Post Peyton Manning, that place has been a disaster.
But Texas or Florida, I'm adding them to the new crew of. They're holding on to their former greatness, and it's in their rearview mirror. They need a culture reset. We heard it with the NIL guy who I may not like this Mike Casprino guy who's brokering NIL deals and saying, I'm not going to deal with Texas anymore because I don't like their collective or Florida anymore because I don't like their collective. Well, guess what, man? You're working for the kids.
Yeah, you're not working for the schools.
And because you don't like Florida doesn't mean that you shouldn't do what's best for the kids because you don't like their collective at the University of Florida. But the collective is exactly what's wrong with the school, is that it is so many voices in no direction to push steer the ship in.
Weird, putting so many people at the table around the country is leading to problems.
Yeah.
Shocking stuff, truly. Here's my counter to this, and I didn't I didn't really think about this until just a second ago. You said culturally it needs to change. I don't know if this is really a counter. This is just more of a dumb thought. Does part of the reason why it doesn't change is because it's Florida, because it's a party school, because it's like I said, Florida man says. Like, I think a lot of that leans into this. Let's take Arizona State. I think they had good years.
Yeah,
but because they're party schools, that the vibe that goes around them from the people involved, they say one thing, even the money gets there, but do they really care?
Yeah, and with Florida, I think they do care, but they all just, everybody thinks that they have their own direction, right?
Everybody's like, just insane.
And this is a prime example of this, right? You had after Steve Spurrier, right? Which Spurrier had an incredible run and won a national title there.
Shout out Danny Werfel.
It's big shout outs to Danny Werfel, right? Spurrier goes out, in comes Ron Zook. Okay. Ron Zook went 8-5, 8-5, 7-5 canned, right? Three straight bowl games. Okay. Ranked in the top 25 all 3 years. Then they get Herbs. Urban Meyer comes in and he builds a dynasty immediately.
Turns out they were decent.
And turns out not a good dude, and he leaves for a year for health reasons, ends up at Ohio State.
Weird.
Right? He left before the heat got too hot on him there at Florida. Then, since then, they've had Will Muschamp, who has had an 11-2 season. Jim McElwain, who had 10-4, 9-4, fired after a 4-7 start. And then Dan Mullen, who went 10-3, 11-2, and then they ran him out of town after an 8-4 season where they're like, nope, not good enough here. No.
You have to build.
This is the ebbs and flows of college football. You fired three coaches.
All with winning records.
In the last decade, all of them have had at least a 10-win season. Like, that, to me, is where you sit there and you go, your expectations versus what reality is. The world changes in college football.
There isn't, when you're fighting for the slice of the pie at the very top, right now, Alabama controls that pie. Georgia is trying to take a bite. Yep. Ohio State is trying to take a bite. You have to take it away from the very top. And you do not do that in a year or 2 years. Hell, even 3 years. It is, once you start building something, it has to have the momentum necessary to keep going. And there's only so many players in the country that allow for that to happen. And you're in the hotbed and you have three coaches who are all wildly successful and you canned him.
It's crazy, right?
It's not the flip side of USC where they had coaches that weren't good and had sanctions to deal with.
Yeah. The USC was always interesting to me because the fan base, it always drug them down because Lane Kiffin is a good football coach.
Yes.
Lane Kiffin is a very good football coach, yet the expectation was Lane Kiffin should be better amidst the most ridiculous sanctions that we've seen in college football since SMU.
Yeah.
Right? The death penalty. Sark is a good football. We're seeing what
fantastic
Sark can do.
Fantastic offensive coordinator.
Sark was also an alcoholic,
yeah,
right?
It was problematic.
But the expectations were, they're not reasonable for coming out of
you
those
sanctions.
You had to
win 10, 11 games with 40 scholarship players.
And then it landed on Clay Helton.
Because he was safe.
But because also there was a lot of coaches that looked around and said,
nah,
are you kidding me? What Lane had to deal with?
Including
what Sark had to deal with?
Transitioning ADs.
I'm not touching that.
Like crazy.
And they're going, there was dysfunction at
every
the administration level.
Yep.
Absolutely. And you had things like the Varsity Blue scandal coming through. That was it, the gynecologist and the hundreds of millions of dollars that they're paying out for that, and the sexual misconduct with the gynecologist. The USC has been a disaster.
Been not great.
But that's the thing. Like when you're talking about it, like you have a reasonable look at it right now.
And you go, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, but the fans didn't.
No.
The fans had no, like, it was like, no, we should be winning. Clay Helton
sucks. Florida doesn't make any sense. Well, Clay Helton did suck. I will stand by that.
Yeah, but it was always like everything was all Clay Helton's fault. No, there's a lot of dysfunction going wrong, and there's no reason why he should have been winning at a high level with everything else that was going on there.
No, I think that the big thing is stylistically is what really doomed him more than anything. And I don't think that's the case in Florida, because Florida, really, over the last couple of years, they've had players and they've produced a brand of football that's fun and good, yep, and enjoyable. It's not like they're not out there playing boring brand of football. And that's, the more we dive into this, the more I'm like, what are Florida people doing here? Because yeah, it doesn't make sense. It hasn't been like they've been this dumpster fire of a team.
No, it hasn't. Well, in this text at 503-250-1080, says Texas A&M disagrees with just a bunch of money signs. Like, you can have a bunch of cooks in the kitchen. No, what Texas A&M is doing is exactly what their boosters and their fan base did with Mac Brown, mm-hmm, which was you let for a long time. Then they turned on him too. They turned on him. They turn on
which
everybody eventually. But what happened was they let Mac Brown do his thing and they got the F out of the way. Texas A&M is allowing Jimbo Fisher to do his own damn thing because he had a national championship that he walked into College Station with, and they are getting out of the way. They are just saying, pocketbooks open, you can take them, whatever.
The best
they'll have their
do
problems
that
when they start losing games.
And boosters start asking questions.
Bingo. And that's where I think this whole NIL will come full circle and it'll start going back down, because boosters won't want to pay for guys that don't pan out. Coaches won't want to pay for the headache that a booster is going to give them if
the
he says, I gave you that much money.
Yeah, it's 100%. Listen, the players that are getting the big money right now, get it right now because the getting's good and it's going to drop out. It's the market efficiency. There's just no way that you can continually hand out $5+ million to 18-year-old kids.
This text sums it up right here. It says Florida is undefeated with the Pac-12 schedule. That obviously a Florida fan, that's the delusion. Yeah. Florida is a good program. Mm-hmm. Florida is a very good program.
Who drops games to bad teams every now and then.
And I will, it is the fan base that gets this delusion that we should be something that we're not. College football is very sick.
Where else can I think of a fan base like that? I don't know. It's very tough.
Yeah.
It's very tough.
503-250-1080. That is the fan text line. This text says Mullen got fired because he's a terrible recruiter and blamed everyone else but himself, and Urban Meyer is a weasel. Now Billy Napier is already getting pressure for being a terrible. Maybe it's not Billy Napier, or maybe it's not Dan Mullen.
Maybe
there's something more.
That Georgia and Alabama are in the same vicinity.
Yeah,
and maybe until something you more climb that mountain, you're just not going to get it.
503-250-1080, Dusty and Friends on the Fan.
Dusty and Friends on 1080, The Fan.
Spartan Bro chiming in on the fan text line, 503-250-1080. It says Michigan State is a party school, and their collective coach and boosters are killing it. He doesn't get the argument about Florida. No. I think you missed the argument. The expectations are reasonable at Michigan State. The expectation isn't that Michigan State should be winning like Alabama or Georgia right now. The expectation is that, hey, they are on the come up. Michigan State may be the most reasonable university out there.
It's up there.
As far as expectations go.
Also, I'm going to push back on the party school a little bit. As much of a party school as you can have, if you're above the Mason-Dixon line, you're not really a party school.
Oh, no.
No, you're not.
Really?
For a proper party school to exist, Sun needs to be a part of this.
Really?
Yeah.
I disagree.
You can be a party school, but you're not a real party school.
Wisconsin is a party school. Michigan State's a party school. Colorado. Colorado's a great party school.
I lived in Grand Forks, North Dakota when I was in the Air Force. And the reason you're a party school when you get that far north is because that's all you have in life.
Well,
it's
rough. Yeah.
But it's a different
kind. Are you trying to say that people in Florida got their ass together? Because there's
a whole
Florida man whole thing going on.
There's 100%. But the the ethos of once, like, it changes when you get the vitamin D.
It does.
I'm just saying.
The vibes are different.
It is.
Vibes are different. All right. I love this. I love riling up Florida fan, too, because when I say you're unreasonable and then you fire off a bunch of unreasonable texts and tweets, pretty much is it. Yeah.
Did we get a fair amount?
Yes, we
love to see it.
And that, hey, that's Gator fans.
I mean, it makes sense.
That's Gator. That's Gator fans.
Gator Nationers.
Gator chomp. All right. I still like Florida. I think their uniforms are awesome.
Listen, man.
And they gave us Gatorade.
The throwback.
And Tim Tebow.
Literally drinking Gatorade right now.
And
the throwback Gator jerseys are clean.
They are. Tom Petty.
Yeah. Ah. Yeah, that's for another day.
You don't like Tom Petty?
Did you just meh Tom Petty?
I did. I have certain takes about particular groups from the 70s and 80s that we will save for another day. We have a long summer.
I'm writing it down.
There you go. I'll give you a few more. I'll text you a few more later.
All right. Oh, man. If you missed the announcement, Danny and Dusty starts Tuesday, July 5th from noon to 3 permanently. Welcome aboard, my man.
Thank you, brother. I'm excited to be here.
Up next, we got Primetime Sook and Lynch for her on The Fan. Have a great Wednesday. See you Thursday from noon to 3.
Bye.